نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تبارك وتعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله إمام عادل شاب نشأ في عبادة الله رجل قلبه معلق في المساجد إلى آخر الحديث أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله العظيم وصدق عظيم وصدق رسوله والنبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved ulama ikram elders, brothers and elders listening, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon our beloved master Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us and afforded us the opportunity once again to come to the masjid and to perform our Jummah Salah and to come early to the masjid. MashaAllah, we are the ones that come early get the greater reward. Those that will come later, the reward keeps decreasing. So we should make it a habit, especially on a Friday, to come early to the masjid. And that is part of the specific advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially on a Friday, to come early to the masjid. And also to benefit from the different discourses that take place. We are very fortunate that here in South Africa, in Durban, every masjid, mashallah, there are Jummah programs that take place. There's a talk that takes place. One of the reasons for these talks taking place is for us to share some advices and for us to be reminded of some aspects of our daily life that we may have forgotten or we need reminders about. So it's beneficial for all of us. Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind because reminder is beneficial to one another. So it's benefit for us. When we see benefit in something, we should be doing it. So coming early for the Jummah and listening to the talk, there is benefit for us. So we should try and make it an important part, a concerted effort, like planning should be in place from the day before, from the week before when it's Friday. I'm going to come early to the masjid so that I can benefit from these discourses that the ulama and the scholars, mashallah, share with us and made the sacrifice of coming and sharing with us important aspects from the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah make it easy for us that every Friday we come as early as possible for the Jummah Salah. There are many things happening in the world nowadays, and when you talk about contemporary issues, where does one start off? There are so many different things. The world is moving so fast. Time is moving so fast. But just before I go to what I wanted to talk about, just want to share some light and something for us to reflect on. The month of August commenced, and next week is going to be a public holiday. Next week, Friday, is going to be a public holiday. Perhaps the ulama will speak about it next week. But it's important always to keep ourselves abreast of what is happening. So in South Africa, we talk about August being Women's Month. And that is why specifically I recited the beginning verses of Surah An-Nisa. Allah has mentioned an entire chapter in the Quran, the chapter of women. And alhamdulillah, we as Muslims, we need to be proud and we have to appreciate the fact that our deen has given honor to women long time ago, 14, even from the time the first person was created in this world, Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathira wa nisaa. Allah created the human being and He created the males and the females. And this is the first verse that every nikah that takes place, you can hear the same verse. And this is the first verse. This is the first verse of Suratul Nisa. So there's an entire chapter in the Holy Quran given the chapter of woman. And the Prophet ﷺ has gone into many ahadith. My today's discussion is not going to focus on that. I just want to share one or two snippets or things for us to reflect on. So as far as women's rights are concerned, alhamdulillah, we got lots and lots to show the world. As Muslims, we have the most ideal examples in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba Ikram, the Sahabiyat, and these are things that we need to share with the world. But most importantly is for us to understand, if we don't know what our deen teaches about women and the rights of women, then how are we going to share it with others? And more important than that is us ourselves, if we are not practically implementing in our lives and not honoring and respecting and fulfilling the rights of women in our lives, then how do we expect to share it with others? So just remember these two important points. Number one, that we need to know that our deen has already given women many, many rights, and alhamdulillah, and given them the highest pedestal. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no distinction between a male and a female, as far as how close they can come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the duties and the responsibilities it is may differ. So we need to know what our deen says about women. And over and above that, we need to practically bring into our lives the teachings of the Quran, Hadith, how we treat our women. Unfortunately, the way we treat, and some of the males, how we treat the females, is not a good reflection of deen, and hence it creates a bad impression in the public eye, in the non-Muslims, etc. So if inshallah, if we know what our deen says about women's rights and how we should treat them, and we are treating a woman accordingly, inshallah it is already a good model for success. Because what better model, what better constitution, what better human rights or anything we need than the Quran? Nothing. So, but most important, each one of us sitting here, we shouldn't be thinking, okay, this is applying to my neighbor or my friend or somebody else who's doing something else to the woman, and that's how. Each one of us, let's take it from my own perspective. All the women that I have interaction with, my wife, my sister, my mother, domestic worker, employee, if you have, wherever I interact with women, am I treating them and do I give them the best amount of respect? Then inshallah, we have made some progress. So let's hope inshallah that these things, it's an awareness, we will realize that inshallah, bring into practice. So that is number one. Secondly, there's a very big, it's important to speak about these things. There's a very big sporting event that is taking place in the world nowadays. I want us also just to reflect. I'm not going to go into a long discussion. Just a few points. My discussion is coming. Core topic is a little bit distant, but I thought it's important to share some things for us to reflect on. And just looking at the, I haven't seen it myself, just to make a disclaimer, but what I've heard and read about, just the opening ceremony itself of this particular event, it shows how distorted, how corrupted the world has become. And what's the whole ideology? Now, sports, which main purpose, if you want to think about it, was physical fitness, to get physically fit. It's good, nothing wrong. Who can argue and debate about how important it is to stay physical fit? Or maybe, add and above that, maybe there's a social element. You play sports because it allows you to have some social interaction with your friends. You're playing a game of soccer, you're playing a game of cricket. So, okay, that's a good intention and something that we should be doing, staying physically fit and having good interaction, social interaction. And by all means, we should be doing it. And our deen teaches us to be physically strong. Al-mu'minul qawi, if you're physically strong, won't your salah be of a better quality? If you're physically strong, won't your hajj be better quality? If you're physically strong, won't you be able to work harder and make more money and pay more zakah? So definitely, as a believer, we should be much more physically fit. But if you look at the agenda and how it's been promoted and how we have been brainwashed and what direction is taking, then we have to be very, very careful and on guard, and we need to think about these things. For example, the ideologies that have been promoted, sometimes before it used to be done subtly. Before it used to be done subtly, you know, you had to read in between the lines or behind the scenes, there were some messages that they've given. Now, it has become bold and much more open. Whether it's the LGBT ideology or making a mockery of religions, and sometimes it looks so blatant. This is like Satanism that is being promoted. Even a blind person will be able to make out that this is some of the filth that is being promoted in an opening ceremony of a world event that is being seen by billions and millions of people across the globe. So we have to be very, very careful and on guard and not get carried away with some of these things. Our iman is actually at stake. So that's very important for us to reflect. Yes, we are playing sport. We should not get carried away with these, you know, subtle messages. Now, as I said, open messages in the name of sport that are now going to be, you know, influencing us. And, you know, unfortunately, our children have been grown up, and they'll start to now think, okay, what's wrong with this? It should be allowed. It's permissible. It's allowed for this type of behaviors, or this type of conduct, because that's what we have been exposed to in a public open events. So we have to educate ourselves and know what are the facts. Then also another element of sports. You know, as I said, it was a physical thing and some social thing, but that's fine. What we see now is that sport is more about name and fame and popularity. So the element of just being physically fit and having a social interaction has shifted. Now it's become, okay, I need to play sport because I must become famous and I must become popular. And I must get, you know, a name for myself. Again, that's now contradicting and against the teachings of our deen, where our deen teaches us about good intention, having humility and simplicity, and having sincerity, whatever you do for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Now you're engaging in sport only so that you must become famous. It's a problem. Prophet spoke about the shaheed will be called on the day of Qiyamah, and will ask him what you did. He said, "Oh Allah, I fought in your path. You gave me so much of strength." Allah will say to him that I gave you the strength, and you fought in my path. You became a shaheed, but what you did it for? For name and for fame, everybody must say, what a brave person you were. So now if this person is participating in sport just to get one trophy to become famous, he is only doing a sport. You think that will be something in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acceptable? Is he doing something good when the shaheed became a martyr for name and fame, will be thrown headlong to the fire of Jahannam? This person who is playing a boxing match or tennis to become famous, is that something, it will go down well as far as our deen is concerned? Or Allah will call a qari, person who is reading Quran, and Allah will ask him what you did in this world. He say, oh Allah, you gave me a beautiful voice, and I read Quran for the people, and mashallah, people were attracted to the Quran. Allah will say, yes, you did it, but for name and fame. He wanted to become famous. Oh, so and so, mashallah, wah wah, he did such beautiful Quran. So you got your name and fame. What do you want by me now on the day of Qiyamah? You also will lose out any reward on the day of Qiyamah. A wealthy person, Allah will ask him what you did. He said, oh Allah, you gave me wealth, I spent it in your path. I built this masjid and orphanage and hospital. So much of good. He said, yes, you did all those things, but why? For fame, for popularity. You got that in this world. Now don't come and ask me for anything here on the day of Qiyamah. It'll be a problem for him. So now, if we have look at the sports, the tendency nowadays is, lots of it is being done for name and for fame and becoming popular. It's a problem. Thirdly, I just mentioned 4 points of reflection. Thirdly, sports nowadays has become all about pesa. It has become now money driven. Like not just about becoming fit, it's about becoming more richer and wealthy. And the money that goes, the spin off of it in advertising and contracts that people get, it's actually mind boggling how much these people earn in a 1 week. You don't even get paid a week, maybe a match or appearance fees, one appearance fee. The amount of money that is being spent, if it's not israf, if it's not tabzir, I don't know what it is, squandering and wasting for hitting a ball well. So this is now again something that we have to think about. I'm not mentioning the solutions or what, this is a short discussion, but for us to reflect on. Then the other aspect that we have to look at when it comes to sports nowadays is the amount of time that a person is engaging in sports. Allah gave us a bounty and a favor of time. Now imagine if you have 60 years of your life, or now let's see, if you narrow it down, if you analyze our entire life, and you think narrow it even down further, let's say a child has 1 week, and now he's going for sports twice a week, he's playing, so 2-3 hours he's going, and then you're watching one soccer match, or one cricket match. How long does that take? 3, 4, 5 hours? Maybe even more? The amount of time that is engaged in training and building up to it. And now, what we need to check is, are we at least, if not more, at least are we spending that amount of time to make my investments for the akhirah? So I'm not saying totally abandon it, but to be fair, and for us to question ourselves, I spent 5 hours because I went training, played this match, whatever tennis, and whatever you did. But in a list of priorities, on the day of Qiyamah when I leave this world, I went for a nice cycling, I went for this 50k cycle, it took me 3 hours. Good, you physically fit, you came back fit, but in all fairness, you need to have priorities in place. For me to spend five minutes opening the Quran, I don't have the time for. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spend 10 minutes. Did I even spend 10 minutes in the entire week with seclusion, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or again, in priority, to go and play that tennis match or whatever it is for two or three hours, and soccer for two, no problem. But your old granny or your mother and father, to go and visit them for five minutes, I got no time for that. So the time utilization, we have to analyze it and be very sincere. Be honest, you're not doing it for somebody else. Yes, as I said, go and play, social, physically, keep in mind these factors. And am I giving the same amount of time to my families, play golf. How long game of golf play? Unless you're playing putt-putt, you say, right, 30 seconds, 30 minutes finish. But the nine holes, you're going to play 18 holes, if you're going twice a week, or you're going for a fishing trip, deep sea fishing, 4 hours, 5 hours. Now your mother and father, you haven't seen them for 5 minutes in the week. So time management and priorities is very, very crucial. Have you managed to open the Quran for that week for 10 minutes? No. So we have to be fair and clear that on the day of Qiyamah, when the eyes close, will that golf ball that has stuck in a hole, will that be of more assistance and help me? Or will maybe 20 minutes of tilawat Quran, or my relationship with my parents, will be making my akhirah. So these are important, critical questions we have to keep asking ourselves. So I just mentioned, just to the benefit of those that have come in a little bit later, in the beginning I said about the greatest rewards are for those that are coming early to the masjid, inshallah. So we just try and come early for the Jummah Salah. And then I spoke for a few minutes about this Women's Month and what our deen teaches us, and about sports. I'm coming now to a last few minutes, and I want to talk about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, now the day of Qiyamah is a reality. It's not a something that is, okay, might happen, doomsday. It's Qiyamah that is going to come. How many ayahs of the Quran? إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمٍ قِيَامَةٍ. So many ayahs of the Quran. Allah keeps talking about Qiyamah, the day of Qiyamah, the heaviness of the day of Qiyamah. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ أَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. That even the woman that is breastfeeding, she will drop her child. A woman that is pregnant will drop her fetus out of the horror and fear on the day of Qiyamah. So that day is going to come. That day is going to come. And on that day, there are seven categories of people. In the next 7 minutes, I want to basically share light on those seven categories of people who will be given shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we, seeing all sitting here, all of these seven categories, how much of these are in our lives? We can fit into each one of these seven categories, applicable to each one of us. And that shade on the day of Qiyamah is like special VIP position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, when the sun will be so hot, people will be running helter-skelter and there will be a lot of challenges. So we will need that. It's not that, okay, I'll make a plan. There's no plan. We have to make a plan in this world now. Prepare yourself so that you can earn that shade under the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So the first one, he says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that sab'atun yuzilluhum Allah fi zillihi yawma la zilla illa zillu. There are seven categories of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant shade under the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on that day when there will be no other shade. Number one, imamun adilun. The first one he says is a just imam or a just leader. Yeah? Okay, the person who is a leader, maybe he is the prime minister or he has position of leadership, it's clear, it's direct, it needs to be fair and just. Every Friday we read in Allah Ya'muru bil Adl, Allah commands with justice. But for us, maybe not a leader in that position, but you're the leader in different forms. Maybe in your home, you're a husband, so you're a type of a leader there. Or maybe you have children, you're a leader there. Or you're a teacher, or you're a boss, you're an employer, employee, whatever it is. There is some type of position you are in for every person sitting here. The key thing to remember is to have the quality of justice. Adl, be fair, be just in whatever you do. And then that will earn you. This quality of justice will earn you shade under the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala day of Qiyamah. Number two, he says, Shabun nasha fi ibadati Allah. Is that youngster who nurtures himself. He grew up in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why that has been specifically mentioned, you could have said a person, but shabun, because when a person is young, the temptations are much more greater and it's easier for him to break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that anybody else can't. But at that time, when you were in the peak of your life, you're physically strong, everything was, alhamdulillah, you were well. At that time, you used your energies and your resources that Allah gave you in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that grants you the second reason for gaining that special ticket, special position under the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Number three, rajulun qalbuhu mu'allakun bil masjid. That person whose heart is attached to the masjid. And this is a masjid. What has happened is we have restricted the masjid to be a place only for salah. Yes, you come to this salah in the masjid, you get 25 to 27 times more reward, and we should be coming and we must come to the masjid for salah. But the amal of the masjid is not only salah. That's only one of the amal of the masjid. And that is where we have to work very, 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 very hard to change the mindset about how we look at a masjid. A masjid ought to be a center. Masjid al-Nabawi, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the ulama say, had four amal, many, many more, but they perhaps put it into four groups. Number one, in the masjid there was learning and teaching taking place. So the masjid shouldn't be just for salah. We should be coming to the masjid having halaqat, sitting with the imam or sitting with somebody to learn and to teach. The Prophet ﷺ, to come out, didn't we hear? He came out of his room and he sees in one corner there's a gathering of people sitting together making zikr. Another one, they're discussing masail. So the learning and teaching needs to be taking place in a masjid. And who's going to do it? Each one of us sitting here. The masjid belongs to us. All of you, are sitting here. It doesn't belong to a specific group. That is their job now. They must do ta'lim in the masjid. And then you carry on. Our hearts ought to be linked to the masjid. We have to physically be here. And when we leave the masjid, it must be like a fish out of water. It shouldn't be like a bird in a cage. It shouldn't be a bird in a cage is waiting for the cage to open and it doesn't escape. Fish in a water is there. Its natural habitat is out, it's going to die. A Muslim and a mu'min and every person is heart should be in a masjid. Then there was in a time the Prophet ﷺ was ibadat and dhikr. Ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Tilawat of Quran. Various forms of ibadah. Dawat, wufud, the delegations used to come. Don't you see when you go to Madinah Munawwara, we all want to go and perform salah in Riyadul Jannah. They pull this Ustuwana Abu Lubaba. There's one puller known as Ustuwana Wufud, the puller of the delegations. That means the delegations used to come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit there and used to talk to them and invite them to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Khidmat, da'wat, that all the amal of the masjid. Now who's going to do this amal in the masjid? Each one of us sitting here. So let us get ourselves more linked to the masjid and the amal of the masjid, and inshallah that will give us a special position on the day of Qiyamah. Then the Prophet ﷺ mentions number 4, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَ فِي اللَّهِ. Two people who meet for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they separate for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that will be a means of gaining the shade of the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Love one another for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other intention. Then inshallah, you will get a shade under the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Number 5, he says, رَجُلٌ دَعَتُ إِمْرَاتٌ ذَاتُ مَنْ صَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A person who is invited by a pretty woman, not just any woman, ذَاتُ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ, a woman of beauty and good lineage, invites him to get involved in some haram type of relationship. But what he says, أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, I fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So by you fearing Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and not engaging further with people of the opposite gender, Allah will give you shade under his arsh in the day of Qiyamah. Number 6, he says, رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ. A person gives some sadaqah, فَأَخْفَاهَا. You just conceal it. Do some things that's only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to do everything for name, for fame, for showing off. You do such an action, some small thing, فَأَخْفَاهَا. So much so that your left hand does not know what your right hand did. حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقْ يَمِينُهُ. It's only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing that action will grant you shade under the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the last one, number 7, Nabi Sallam said, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا. A person who in seclusion, he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. فَفَاضَتْ أَيْنَاهُ, and one drop of tear flowed down his eye. That moment of seclusion, everyone sitting here, on your own. Yes, alhamdulillah, it's nice to have these majalis and big gatherings. But what stops us from at home or on our own sitting down and getting our hearts connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone? Khaliyan, you see, hadith says, Dhakarullah khaliyan. In seclusion, sat down, your heart between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you connected it. One tear came down because of tawbah, because of fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That mere seclusion moment between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a powerful thing that will grant you shade under the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us all the ability and tawfiq of practicing or whatever has been said. Instead, inshallah, next week, weekend is a long weekend and there's a special ijtima that is taking place in Newcastle from Friday morning till Sunday morning. We humbly request all the brothers, inshallah, to attend and to invite others as well to attend. all these qualities that we have mentioned, inshallah, going into these gatherings, will try and help us, encourage us to bring these qualities alive in our lives. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. And just to summarize, I spoke about women's rights, I spoke about the sports, and the seven sifat of those people who will be granted arsh on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anilhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhim wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك والله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة خلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء وقال تبارك وتعالى إن الله الإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة يذلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله إمام عادل شعب نشأ في عبادة الله رجل قلبه معلق في المسجد جد رجلان تحابا في الله اجتمع عليه وتفرق عليه رجل دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله رجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي والذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلي على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصلي على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وأن كل الصحابة أجمعين. الله 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 في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدهم الله الله لا الله الله في أصحابي اللهم لا اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واجعلنا منهم اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في غزة وفي كل مكان اللهم أيدهم بتأييد من عندك اللهم عجل بهم يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله أمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. خيني ستيتنا وسرسنا فلين قبس
Allah'a emanet olun.
الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله استغفر كان نشوا وسفس ستريت في النجاب الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا ميتا إلا رحمته وغفرته، ولا حاجة من هوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح، لنا على قضائها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، وما لنا من الرياء، وألسنتنا من الكذب، وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار، برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك، وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا، ورزقا حلالا طيبا، وشفاء من كل داء، وعملا متقبلا. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.